Many years ago when I was traveling around Europe, I went with the friend I was traveling with to visit another friend who was at that stage studying in Liechtenstein. And so we stayed with him in Western Austria. He had to go study that particular day, but he had recommended to Andrew and I to go on a hike up this particular mountain, and it was, you know, relatively short, less than 3,000 meters for Austrian standards, high for Australia. But we hadn't really prepared for this, so we didn't really have anything much with us. But anyway, we went up. It took about 3 hours, I guess, to climb to the top of the mountain. And as most Austrian mountains, this magnificent cross kind of there on the top. And, you know, we were just soaking in all of the views, you know, which went right across into Switzerland and so forth, you know, a glorious kind of spot. But by this stage, it was mid-afternoon, and we still hadn't had lunch. We didn't bring any food or water kind of with us. It was a hot day in summer, and so we thought, ooh, we'd better kind of get out of here to find something to eat. So the only place we knew was to get back to the car and then to drive into the village and to find something to eat. That sense when, you know, you're a long way from the nearest supply of food or drink, it can be, you know, quite, oh wow, this is too much. Thankfully, you know, there were mountain streams that were kind of running down the mountain, strangely, and we were able to at least stop and get something to drink along the way. And this is not a story I kind of tell my mother, but we noticed on the way up that the track kind of went zigzagging up the mountain, and there were a few places where there were landslides, and I was like, well, I guess if I kind of slide down this landslide, I should be able to get down a whole lot faster than, you know, just kind of crouching down and crowd surfing the rocks. It was lots of fun. I was much younger back then. That sense of that longing for food, you know, when we can't eat for whatever reason, that desire, that hunger that we have. I mean, it's the reason that we fast before receiving the Eucharist, because it's meant to align us physically with our spiritual need, that we need the Lord, we need to be fed, we need to be nourished. And so we deprive ourselves of food in order to prepare ourselves, in order to get in touch with that hunger that we have for God, you know, that desire, that longing that is there. And so you see the reality of the people of Israel. I mean, it's only a few weeks since they've left the flesh pots of Egypt, the whole experience of being so subjugated there in Egypt as slaves. You know, they weren't free to really do anything at all. But yes, Goshen, where they were living, was a place of abundance. There were natural springs. It was an oasis in the middle of the desert. And so it was a place where they were able to find fresh water, that they could grow their crops, they could grow food. They had plenty of food there. But here in the wilderness, where there is no water and there are no possibilities of stopping and growing crops or anything like that, they were certainly getting hungry. And that whole sense of, Moses, what have you done? You've brought us from one awful situation into another awful situation. Why didn't you just let us die there rather than bringing us out here into the wilderness to die here? I mean, the people had a point in all of that. And why would Moses do them? I mean, they were thinking that it would just be a few weeks, which is all it should have taken, even for so many people to journey from Egypt across the Sinai Peninsula up into the Promised Land. But that wasn't the way that it turned out. And so they complained and they continued to cry out to Moses, ultimately, that there wasn't that sense of really trusting in the Lord, believing that God was a God of goodness, of kindness, the God who would tenderly take care of them. They had to learn that lesson kind of the hard way. And so they cry out and the Lord answers. The Lord provides them quails in the evening and this weird substance that we don't even really know what it was that was left when the dew lifted each morning. And in fact, that's where we get the word manna or manna, that it's simply that question that they ask, what is it? What is this thing that is there on the ground? So it's a beautiful kind of reminder. So often we don't know what's really happening in this particular situation. We're not able to describe it. There's so much that is kind of beyond our ordinary experiences, and we're tapping into that kind of great mystery over these next 4 weeks as we reflect on the gift of the Eucharist for us, the power of the word of Jesus to change ordinary bread into the bread of life, into the very gift of himself. And that final lines of the gospel today, as the people, you know, are trying to make sense of that Jesus is saying, look, don't come to me simply because I gave you abundance of food. Don't come to me simply because you're hungry again for ordinary food. You have to transform that into a deeper experience. Because if we're just wanting the experience again, you know, I remember when I was a Carmelite and I had, you know, quite profound kind of experiences of prayer, not very often, just, you know, a few times over the few years that I was there. But I remember this one day, you know, because we'd spend 2 hours every day in personal prayer in addition to the 2 hours of the office and the Mass and everything else that we would pray together. We'd just be sitting there for these 2 hours, you know, one in the morning, one in the evening, in prayer. And often I was just bored and distracted, and, you know, just my mind was racing and all kinds of other things were happening. But occasionally there would be these experiences where I was just so overwhelmed by being held by God, by the love and tenderness of God. And, you know, having this particular situation and just thinking the next day, okay, Lord, you know, I'll dial that up again. Thank you. I'll have that same experience once again. And of course, what happened? Nothing. Nada. We didn't have that experience. And when I was reflecting with my spiritual director afterwards, he said, well, Richard, if you're just going back for the experience again, the Lord is never going to give you that experience. What we need to do is seek not the experience, but God. You know, and the whole kind of Carmelite spirituality of Joan of the Cross and Teresa of Jesus is that we, you know, get rid of all of those attachments that we have to the physical realities and just keep moving deeper through all of those experiences into the depths of God. That he's there waiting for us, longing for us. He will meet us and he will encounter us. Jesus tells us that at the end of the gospel today, that I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never hunger. Anyone who believes in me will never thirst. You know, that's the longing, that's the fulfillment that God is able to offer to us. The answer to our deepest longings, the question that so many of us have, the Lord will provide that answer for us. He's feeding us and nourishing us and calling us more deeply into that experience of life with God.